This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably.
Well, you went from comedy consultant to an actual cast member.
Yeah, so how that shit kind of came about when we did the table read for the film, Reggie Miller, he couldn't make it.
The basketball player?
Yeah, he in the movie, yeah. So we was at the table read, me, Shaq, Kyrie, Chris Webber, Lisa Leslie, Rail, but everybody was there. The president of Lionsgate, all these people. And I did the particular character. The character's name is Lights. That's Reggie's character. But I did it in like a specific like character voice. And so when I read it, everybody laughing and shit. And so they're like, hey, LeVar, man, if you see a part you would like, let us know. I was like, I said, well, I surely will.
Hot Breath. Yo, yo, yo. What up, Hot Breath-averse? We're back. This is your favorite host, comedian Joel Byers. And you know what time it is. Hot breath. Oh, the sound that lets you know you're home. Welcome, hot brethren and sistren. This is your first time. Welcome aboard the Hot Breathiverse. This is your weekly dose of everything comedy related. Everything from insights to just funny stories. And this one has some funny stories. You know, for my guest, this is one of the few repeat guests I've done. This gentleman was number 6. Hot Breath episode number 6. We are now in the 130s. It's incredible to not only hear the evolution of his story, but also the evolution of this podcast, how both of us has grown since then. And this is really a nice time capsule of a comedian who is really on the verge of taking his career to the next gear. And yes, that did rhyme. I'm not trying to brag, but it was on time. Anyway, I'm fine. That didn't rhyme with time. Whatever. How much did this podcast cost you? A dime? That's what I thought. So enough of my chime. This is just the intro, just to welcome you aboard, let you know what I'm all about, so I will not shout. So, anyway, let's get on with it. This is a dope podcast. I release these every Monday. If you're not subscribed, I don't know why. If you do share, please, I love you and thank you. But most of all, I hope you learn. And I have a fun little story in the outro about something that happened after this interview, but I just recorded the interview, so I'm still jazzed and processing what happened. So let me just get you into it immediately as well. So, that being said, there is only one thing left to do. And that is inhale a hot breath.
I think I need to do...
With LeVar
I do a daily
Walker.
Podcast, so
yeah.
I probably need to just do the daily podcast and then upload that to YouTube. Because yeah. I'm doing two different things right
Dude,
now.
Dude, YouTube is the second largest search engine behind Google.
I know.
So if you're not on YouTube, you're kind of like... And you were vlogging at the show on Tuesday, too. So like you had somebody out there vlogging, filming you. Kennard was.
Well, Kennard was doing it with his phone because I got to get used to bringing the gimbal and having the phone.
Yeah.
So I was just like, dude, just get a little footage. And the shit he sent me... The footage, I got to find out how I can rotate the...
Oh, it was what, landscape versus whatever?
Well, he shot it in landscape, yeah. But it's in my phone as horizontal, or as vertical, I guess.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? So,
what's your goal with all this? Because you're churning out a lot of content.
Man, creating an ecosystem. I mean, that's the wave, man. You can't really... You got to build an audience, bro.
Right.
You know, like, how else are you supposed to build a goddamn audience?
Just flood them
like
with content.
I mean, I just want them to see me. Mm. I want people to get to know me. You know what I mean? So I'm working shit, you know?
Yeah, it's good to hear, man. Because I don't know. You just kind of made a shift. And welcome back, by the way, as well.
Oh,
I should
thanks.
Welcome
hey
you back
guys,
officially
back
to the
again.
Podcast. Hot Brethren, LeVar Walker.
Wow, man, it's good to be here.
We're back
dude.
Out here.
Are these your waters? Are you selling waters?
Yeah, these are water. These are
I
this
love
is
it.
Fontis, my man.
This is dope.
a lot's changed since you.
So is this like part of your merchandise when you're on the road?
Yeah, this is exclusively for Hot Breath guests right now.
Oh,
but I collaborated with Fontas, their local spring water up in the Blue Ridge Mountains of Georgia.
Right.
So they do custom labels and like the big office water coolers, and they do coffee now.
You definitely got to get you some gum since this is Hot Breath podcast.
Yeah, I was thinking that or Hot Breath mints.
Yeah.
I just haven't yet.
That's what's up, man.
Put this on silent. I want to make sure I'm focused on LeVar Walker.
Yeah, I'm about to put airplane mode on my shit too.
But yeah, so that water's for you. Yeah, you did episode 6, man.
God damn. And what episode are you on now?
I'm in the 130s now.
Jesus, man. That's been a minute.
Yeah.
Because that was when I did Last Comic Standing.
That was back when I interviewed everybody from Atlanta who was on Last Comic Standing.
Wow, man. That is crazy.
Look at you now. You're early.
Man, look at you, man. You know what I mean? I knew you thought I was going to be late.
Dude, man.
I know you was like, fuck, I know you're going to be about 1:30. Nah, man.
Yeah, the first time around we were trying to do the interview, you hit me up like 10 minutes after we were supposed to meet, like, oh man, I got a flat tire.
I really did. I was having problems with my shits.
But you called me late to tell me you had a flat.
Oh, it was after the time.
It was after
God the time. Damn, dude. I was so disrespectful, man. I'm sorry, man.
I love how you still stuck to the story. No, I was late. I was late. But,
I'm telling you, bro.
You know, I really did have a trouble with my car. My car was messing up. You know, mainly it wouldn't get out of the driveway on time.
My
you know how
bad,
cars be.
Man, hey.
Nah, hey.
I'm sorry, bro.
Nah, man. It's all good, man.
I'm sorry. I was on probably some asshole shit at that time.
Like, that was something we touched on in the interview.
I ain't doing this shit. I might have been on some dickhead shit or something, man. Just, you know.
We got the bat phone. We interviewed at my classroom last time, and now we're in my classroom again. So I don't know what's the deal with the phone, but
this is where you teach the comedy class.
This is where I teach my comedy class at. Yeah, yeah.
And they all sit at the table and learn?
We'll all sit at the table, and I have a PowerPoint up here. And then they'll perform in the corner.
Oh, wow.
So they'll perform, and then we'll do like a writer's room feedback on each person's set. And then we'll go into a lesson for that
That's
week.
That's dope, bro. Good shit, Joe.
Hey, now.
I'm proud of you, man.
I appreciate you, man.
That's what's up, bro.
That's what we talked about on the last one, was just trying to find a way.
You got to, bro. You know? Like, you know, with me and doing this content, and I have a daily podcast that I do, so all the Hot Breathers out there, you can tune in and catch me every morning on the LeVar Walker Show. It's available on Stitcher, iTunes, Pocket, everywhere. You can Google it and check me out, and also check my daily vlog out.
What is it all? Is the daily vlog LeVar Walker Show also?
The daily vlog as well. My YouTube name is Escovar77.
What kind of what?
I don't know, dude. That was like
Escovar?
Dude, my channel like 10 years old, bro. I got like 1,700 subscribers and I'm trying to reinvent it. But I think I'm going to take my content, put it on there, and put it on another page, LeVar TV, and just get them, try to migrate them over.
Yeah, you might Escovar. Or can you edit the channel name?
Fuck no.
Bruh.
I don't know why YouTube don't let you do that.
I don't know, but Escovar77 is not
who people
are going to be booking.
I know.
What does Escovar mean?
That was just a name. I don't fucking know. I'm LeVar. You know what I'm saying? I used to hear Nas rapping about Escobar, you know, Pablo. So I said, fuck it, I'm Escovar. You know what I mean? Like, but this was so long ago.
This is some whack.
This was super whack.
Back when you were getting booed and
it was terrible. But it wasn't my comedy name. I just you know, just some shit I threw up on YouTube at the time, you know?
So what are you trying to do here? Like, you get the podcast, now you're doing a daily vlog. What's your strategy here? Man?
I mean, dude, I think like putting out, I think content is key right now. And I think, you know, you're just able to build an ecosystem. So if I go perform somewhere live, you know, or somebody's, if they see me do an Instagram video, you know, they might Google me. And once they Google me, you know, they enter my world of YouTube's, IG, podcast, and just a way to give something to the fans, man. Just constantly giving, you know what I mean?
Have you been researching, like, what's most effective on social media and maybe what is more of a waste of time? You've been looking into the analytical side of
return?
Well, my number one site is Instagram. That's where I get the most traffic. But I don't think it's hurting to do YouTube and do the podcast. I mean, I get like 170 listeners an episode on my podcast. So, you know,
I just started.
I'm 32 episodes in.
But that's every day.
Like, every day.
That's almost just like a little radio show for you now.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just a way to just get hands on and not really sitting back waiting for the man to say, yo, you got it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just a way to work consistently.
I think I overthink everything. And like I try to make everything perfect.
And I don't like with me, man, fuck it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think you should throw the shit out there. Like, if you, because I noticed like with IG and doing like a lot of social media shit, I was getting paralyzed in perfection.
Yeah.
So when you go to think analytics, posting at a certain time, doing all this shit, you never do. And the doing is key. Consistency is key. So I just want to grow my fan base, bro, and have a demand and let the world see my talent.
And when you say consistency is key, are you posting a video at a certain time every day? Or
no,
like,
I just post that shit whenever I feel like it.
Just sometimes you may do three a day, sometimes you may do zero. It's just whenever.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's funny, you know, like I just did, I know I did a T.I. video, and that one got, let me see, I got like 35,000 followers.
I saw you bringing the T.I. back a little bit.
Yeah, I brought them back. They love the T.I. Matter of fact, I did the video because all my fans was like, yo, look at T.I. did. I kept getting DM. I was like, all right, fuck it. Let me hit them with something.
Right.
It did like 53,000 views, and I only got 35,800 something followers.
Yeah, it seems like you hit a new gear on Instagram. What did you switch up?
Because, I mean, I'm just more consistent.
Just more
bro.
Consistent.
Yeah. And okay. And then I'm kind of honing in, looking at my analytics of what they like me to do, which is side-by-sides and shit like that.
Oh,
and, of course,
right.
The T.I., which is an old-ass bit I've been doing since... I've been impersonating T.I. since, what, 2005? Four? You know what I mean?
Since where Escobar.
Yeah. So, like, I've been doing this motherfucker since 04, like, when I would just do the hat and the glasses, and it was a big music cue bit.
Yeah.
And, I took it from that to, you know, doing the voice and getting his inflections and just watching him. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah, that was cool. I dissected your T.I. approach on the last one interview, and you went into how impersonating anyone is just about finding like a small trait and then exaggerating it.
Yeah. So when T.I. talks, you dig that. You gotta hold your lip a certain way, and you gotta let the words come out real slow. You dig? You know what I mean? So that's it.
Mr. Tip, what happened with this drunk thing?
Well, you know, first of all, I want to say that I accept full responsibility for anything that happens in my life. But in this particular instance, this was nothing more than a small thing to a giant. I was accosted and upheld, and for whatever reason, the security guard did not believe who I said I was. I am T.I. I'm very famous. Everybody knows me. He knows me. So I'm going to leave it at that. Now, I'm in a current situation with the judicial system and things of that nature, and we're going to let the laws of the land handle that.
Wild as the Taliban.
Man, wild as the Taliban.
So even in just thinking of what you're trying to build here, as a comedian, we all have different ideas, but it seems like your mode right now is just create as much as possible and just churn it out.
I want to create and put that shit out, bro. I mean, where are we right now in stand-up? Think about it, bro. Think about it. It's almost like with social media and with the internet, you know, you have tools and it's given us tools and leverage to build a fan base at this point. You know, I've been doing stand-up, 15 years, man?
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm at the point where I want to grow my name and brand myself. And so, you know, I'm selling tickets, shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're smart.
People need to come see you for a reason. They need to come see you because you're funny. Everybody's funny, man.
Have you seen traction? People that see you on social media come see you live?
Yeah. And I've been getting recognized in the mall, like at the grocery store and really? Shit. People are like, oh, shit. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. some people are just stare. They won't say shit. But I kind of, my wife will pick up on that shit. It's like, LeVar, them people know you. I'm like, I don't say shit. So it's helping, bro. And you know, you realize with all this, like your podcast, you got a fucking radio show. You took it in your hands to mm-hmm. make your own opportunity to, you know, bring these interviews to light, you know. You took it in your hands, and technology has given us that power.
Boom.
Just like when I said, you don't need to move to LA, remember? On the last episode.
I remember when you said that, yeah.
You don't.
You don't have to move to LA.
Think about it, like right now, who popping? Jess, you know, Jess Hilarious just picked up on the rail show. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. she picked up from fucking social media, bro.
Millions of followers,
and now she on national TV. She'd be on Fox in the fall. You know what I mean? She wasn't in L.A. living in the fucking car. It's like those days are kind of over with, man. Like, you could blow up from fucking Idaho right now.
All from social media.
Yeah, social media, internet, however you want to do it, man. Because even with YouTube is the largest television network on earth.
Mm-hmm. It's a good way to look at it.
They bigger than Fox, ABC, NBC, and CNN combined, with over 1 billion people that watch it every day or some shit like that. So that's better.
Yeah.
Cool.
You mentioned people need to see you, and then I realized that camera angle, they could really only see you, and I wanted to make sure that they got my pearly face in there.
Oh, yeah.
So now we out here. Because, you know, we post these on YouTube and then social media as well and LinkedIn and all that jazz. So we out here trying to make moves.
Is this something in front of, is something on your screen?
Where?
It looked like something on the screen because it looked like something is right here. Hold on, let me see. I think it's something.
There's a line that shows that it's level.
Oh, okay.
See that?
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. So that just lets you know that it's level and all that
okay.
cool stuff. Nothing but the best. So in thinking of you still being based out of Atlanta and right. the opportunities you're finding, most recently you did this movie.
Talking about
Lil Rel.
Yeah.
You did Uncle Drew.
Uncle Drew. I played a Foot Locker manager.
How'd that even all pop off?
Man, I was sitting on my couch one day. Because I'm not working in the pharmacy as much no more.
Oh, you're taking one, you're kind of stepping into comedy more?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it's more saturated in the pharmacy world than, you know, it's like, I got to decide. So, fuck it, you know. So I'm sitting on my couch, I got a call from Lil Rel like 2:30 in the morning. I don't know what time that was, L.A. time, but he was like, yeah, fam, you know, shibbity-dobo, you know how he talk. Yeah, fam. I'm shooting this movie, Joe, this Uncle Drew movie, and they need somebody to teach the players how to act like old men. So I was like, all right, shit, I love to do that shit. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, all right, fam, some people going to hit you up. So I got an email, went and had a meeting with the writer and the director. Shout out to Jay Longino and Charles Stone. Sat down, met with them. Went over everything and got a call from the executive producer next day. And they hired me initially as the comedy consultant for the film. So I helped to punch up the script, added a little couple lines, nice. Little funnies, hit them with some funny.
Yeah.
With some of the lines y'all hear in the film, some shit. I was like, yo, tell them to say that, this, that, whatever. And then that led to my little tiny part of playing Marty, the Foot Locker manager.
So are you on set and they do a scene and then you're like, oh, this could be funny if they added this.
Yeah, like before we go to shoot or whatever, they send me a script every day because throughout the movie, the script is getting updated literally every day.
Right.
Every day you get a new script. It's, you know, taking notes. I would like present notes and what I thought would work and, you know, some things they would reject and some they would accept. And, you know, we just kept it moving. So mm-hmm. I got to collaborate and be on set and see all the hard work that it takes to shoot a film. And it's a lot of patience. It's a lot of sitting and waiting, you know?
Hurry up and wait.
Yeah, it's a lot of that shit. It's a lot of that shit. But this is a studio movie, and they really fed us. The food was fucking amazing, bro. It was food every fucking day, like morning to night, just tents of food, like steaks and all kind of just wonderful cuisine. Like it was
real
great.
Food.
I gained
craft
weight.
Service
I
chips.
Was damn near 200 pounds by the end of that movie, man.
Just from that?
I was eating that shit, man. Because you get bored. Like if you sitting on set bored, you just go eat.
Right.
Because it's laid out, man.
Yeah, yeah.
So I lost weight. Now I'm down to like 178, but I was like 196. I picked up.
Oh, what'd you cut out?
Cut back on a lot of sugar drinks. Started counting my calories. And that shit, you know, just fell off.
Yeah.
I'm pumping up a little bit.
Pumping up.
Yeah, I think I'm going back up in my weight just a tad bit because I've been drinking liquor and shit and just chilling.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I got to watch it. I'm going to get back on it. You know what I mean? Because my thighs and shit, I was getting the hips. I had a fat ass.
Did you say Kevin Hart, like, squeezed your belly one time?
Yeah, he squeezed my belly. He said, Var, look, Var, this is disgusting, Var. Look, no, and he... Like he squeezed my shit and looked me in my eye. What is this, Var? It's disgusting. You disgust me, Var. Like, I'm like, fuck, I gotta tighten this shit up. So I got on the scale. I'm like, fuck this. My thighs were starting to rub.
Yeah.
And it's not like I'm sloppy. Like, you know what I'm saying? I guess I could hold my weight cool, but it was like, yo, I gotta tighten this shit up. I got a son, man. I don't want to have a heart attack out here, no shit.
Yeah, you know, has having a kid totally like changed your drive and work ethic and all that?
Yeah, because now, you know, especially with stand-up, I don't want to, even though it'd be very easy for me to quit, what message would I be telling my son?
Mm.
Give up on your dream. So it's like, I have to make this, I will make this shit happen. Mm-hmm. I will, like, no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Are you clear on where you want to end up?
Yes.
Where do you want to end up?
The greatest comedian of all time.
Word?
Yeah. Selling out stadiums, touring, movies, all that shit.
Hmm.
Yes, that's where I want to end.
The greatest comedian of all
time? Of all time.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's Hollywood calling right now.
I hear him. Shit.
So what's cool, let's go back to Uncle Drew a little bit because it's crazy. You get a call in the middle of the night. Hey, you may be in the whoop-de-whoop, whatever Lil Rel impression you did that I can't do because it'll be racist.
Shoobity-dobo.
Yeah. So, TSA.
Yeah.
So he calls you and then you're in a meeting with like the producer and the director.
Yeah.
Like the next, like pretty much.
Yeah, next day.
The next day.
Yeah.
What goes down in that meeting? What do they say to you? What is the.
Dude, we ate. We had a good dinner at the, what was it? The Buckhead Diner. I think they just feel you out. You know what I mean?
Right,
to just see if they even want to work with you. So that night that I got the script, so you know, I wrote a whole bunch of notes, all that shit of what I think. I had a whole thing. So I'm in there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we got the vibe and they liked my energy and that, you know, I guess I landed the job. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you went from comedy consultant to an actual cast member.
Yeah, so how that shit kind of came about, when we did the table read for the film, Reggie Miller, he couldn't make it.
The basketball player?
Yeah, he in the movie, yeah. So we was at the table read, me, Shaq, Kyrie, Chris Webber, Lisa Leslie, Rail. Was Tiffany there? No, Tiffany Haddish. No, she wasn't there that day. But everybody was there. The president of Lionsgate, all these people. And I did the particular character. The character's name is Lights. That's Reggie's character. But I did it in like a specific like character voice. And so when I read everybody laughing and shit. And so they like, hey, LeVar, man, if you see a part you would like, let us know. I was like,
what?
I said, well, I surely will. I surely will. Because they was like, shit, could he play Lights? But I'm too short. I'm not a hooper. You know what I mean? So, yeah, man. Yeah, that was that.
Just because you were funny in the room, they booked you a part.
Pretty much.
Just being talented.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was... surreal. Because I was like, man, they bullshit. And I was like, are they serious? So I was like, when they brought it to me, I was like, man, I would love to, you know, audition or whatever, you know, for a role. You know, oh, LaFar, we're not going to make you audition, man. We got you. Like, really? I was like, fuck, man. Like, you know what I mean? So I read the script. I was like, yo, I think this would be perfect. This Foot Locker manager that I'm playing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, I know like Shaq likes to clown around a lot, and you've been on his tour and done a bunch of roasting sessions. What was it like working with all those NBA players?
It was cool, man. I roasted the shit out of all of them. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? We talked shit. It was cool, dog. Like, you know, set on set with Kyrie. And I got to know Kyrie, and just from talking to him and feeling his energy. When we found out he was going to Boston, because we found that shit out during the film.
Whoa.
You know what I mean? I knew Boston would go far. I mean, because for him to be young like that, he's 25, man. He's so level-headed and so mature on the inside. And it's crazy because he's playing Uncle Drew, this 80-year-old man. He is really Uncle Drew on the inside, bro.
Interesting.
That motherfucker's Uncle Drew on the inside. Like, he's like really like an old wise man, dog. Like, mm-hmm. Because I mean, if I'm 25 and I'm fucking Kyrie Irving, yo, my 30 for 30 is gonna be crazy. Like, I'm gonna go fucking crazy. I'm gonna go crazy. That's a lot of power. That's a lot of fucking power. You got all this money. You're famous. You the number one guard. You know, the cold ass guard in the NBA. Yep. You're gonna lose your shit. Most guys are gonna lose their shit, man. You know what I'm saying? But this guy, he a champion, bro. He's a champion. And to see the Celtics, and I tweeted, people call me fucking crazy. Hmm. And matter of fact, I put it on my Instagram, and everybody, because I'm gonna be honest, I'm not a huge like basketball guru where I know all of, but I just had a feeling the Celtics would go far. So on January 21st, I wrote at 12:53 a.m., this is what I wrote. The Celtics will beat Cleveland and win the Eastern Conference Finals. Remember where you heard it first. I tweeted that shit. Everybody cussed me out, said I was fucking insane. Now look, 2-0, baby. And they don't even have Kyrie or Hayward.
So it was just a lucky guess.
Man, I just Kyrie had a feeling, bro. I just felt like...
Yeah.
You know, I figured Kyrie would take him, but it just worked out, I guess. You know what I'm saying?
What did you learn specifically from him? Like, he's wise. Did he have any specific
I mean, it's just his insights? Level. It's just his level of focus.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just Kobe is his mentor. It's just his level of focus. And, you know, we talked about him leaving Cleveland. Because he wanted to, you know, be his own man and create his own kingdom. And it was just commendable, bro. Because you think about the league now, everybody want to be on this fucking star team.
Super teams.
Everybody
want
to be on the fucking super team and not really build they shit.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, yo, I love this dude, man. You know what I mean? Because that's a 90s kind of, you know what I mean? Jordan stayed with the fucking Bulls.
Right,
you had Jordan.
Right.
You had Magic. You had Bird. You know what I mean? All these people, the franchise players. It wasn't fucking Jordan, Magic, and Bird on one fucking team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's kind of whack. You know what I'm saying? But
the movie you did is kind of a superstar team man. Like Lil Rel, Tiffany Haddish, Nick Kroll, you, LaVar Walker.
Yeah, Mike Epps.
Mike Epps? No.
Yeah,
no,
man. He's Mike not. Epps in the movie. Yeah, we good, man.
We good now?
We good.
What happened?
We talked, man. We just talked and we cool, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we good. We good, man. We spoke on it and shit. After that, we, you know, it's whatever.
Was this the first time you had seen him since the...
Yeah, man.
What? Was on set?
Yeah, it was on set. Yeah.
Last time I saw you, you had me laid out on the Ferrari. What's up, man? Is that what
I mean, it was...
What happened?
Man, you know, it was quiet the first day. But then the next day, that nigga was like, what up, man? And I looked and stared. I'm like, what's up, man? And we talked about it. And I say, look, man, I told him, I said, listen, I'm a fan. You know what I mean? And as far as the joke, because he said, listen, it wasn't my intentions for you to get beat up. And the motherfuckers jumped me and all that shit, but it was cool, whatever. So we talked, and he was just, I said, look, you know, as far as the joke is concerned, I'm just doing jokes, bro. I'm a comedian. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, he was like, my bad, you know, whatever, whatever.
My bad for beating you up.
I mean, and I'm gonna say this, you know what I'm saying? He didn't hit me. All right.
Right, right, right.
His people did. But all I saw was that motherfucker. That's it. So I'm going to the police. I'm telling on you, sir. Okay? Yeah. Like, I'm going to keep it a buck. So he told me it wasn't his intentions for that to happen. I accept it. Fuck it. I'm moving on. I'm not going to harbor hate, no ill will. We good. Me and a man dapped. You know what I'm saying? We talked about the Richard Pryor movie shit.
Oh, yeah.
We good. So that's it. Shout out to him. You know what I'm saying?
How long was the conversation?
Man, we talked for a minute. We was on fucking set.
Yeah.
Like, you trapped. Know what I'm saying? Like, we was on set, bro. So, yeah, it wasn't nothing, you know.
Who initiated it?
Dog, he came and approached me. Because we didn't speak the first day.
You just saw each other, and you're like,
yeah,
oh,
I was like, I'm staying the fuck out the way. You know what I mean? I don't want no smoke. I'm just here to work, baby.
I'm here to get my
check and assist on the film. That's all I'm here to do.
Yeah, I'm just the consultant.
I'm the consultant, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, the second day, man, he kind of looked at me, and I looked away. I was like, oh, shit. And then I was walking outside, and he was like, all I heard was, hey, LeVar, man, you a writer? And I looked, I said, what up, Mike, man? What's happening? And he looked and we just talked, man. It was good. It was good. It was bigger him, you know what I'm saying, to, you know, fuck with me or whatever. And we good. So I'm just glad that was able to come full circle.
Mm.
And I could let any ill will or negative feelings that I had go. You know what I mean? And, you know, a lot of comedians that were hating during that time, as you remember.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of them said things like, man, all he gonna, because I read the Facebook posts that a lot of them had. You know, I had like, during that time in 2014, I had shut my Facebook down, but I could still see what people were saying. And, you know, it's crazy because a lot of them were like, oh, first, it was a snitch. I was a snitch, labeled a snitch, because I called the police.
For getting beat up.
Right.
That's right.
What I'm going to do.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not a street nigga. I don't sell dope, nothing. So I'm.
You are from the streets, though. Don't. Southside Chicago. Southside
Chicago, but I was in that shit, but I had mom and dad. I went to college, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I was a snitch. Another one I got, I never forget. Oh, he ain't gonna never make it now. All he'll be remembered as a dude that got his ass whooped by Mike Epps. That was another one.
You remember who said these things too?
Oh, I remember, but I'm not gonna give them any light.
Right,
you know what I'm saying? And, you know, I'm behind the curtain, so it might get rough for them. But they'll never know why. That's crazy, right? But listen, so, you know, I read all of that. And the way God works, and God is I'm gonna use my pastor voice. God is such a mighty God that y'all can check me out in my first movie with Mike.
Let him use
and
you.
Let him
Won't
use
he
you.
Do it?
And a lot of times, comics, you know, when things happen to us, you know, especially when some shit go down with a comedian that's bigger or some type of celebrity or some shit, you know, and y'all want to go kissing ass and thinking you're going to get on tour with a motherfucker because you turned on your brother. Learn from this. Just now look. I don't know. Like, I don't know. Maybe y'all are getting the movie with him. I doubt it, but it is what it is. So,
congratulations. I did not know you guys had reconciled.
We good. You know, it was on Comedy Hype.
No, I didn't see that.
We're good, man.
No, wow.
We good, man.
You just never know. You think I'm about to be in this cool movie, and then you ended up getting full circle.
Full circle.
You ain't got no haters. You ain't popping, though.
That's right.
But.
That was a dark time, bro.
You got low?
I got low. I was hurt. I was distraught. And the mental, more than anything, hurt way more than the physical. Because I didn't know who I could trust. I'm like, I'm doing good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My shit was popping. You know what I mean? I was touring with the Plastic Cup Boys and the Shaq All-Star Comedy shit. And you know, I won Miller Lite. You know, I was just doing so much shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it kind of slowed me down a little bit. I had to take a step back. You know what I mean? But I think it just exposed, like, a lot of snakes, number one. And it also, it kind of showed me how to be in the game and move a little differently.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
How so?
Just being more strategic and just knowing that, I mean, people got feelings. And my tongue is very powerful. So even with the joke with Mike, and, you know, we talked about it, and he told me why he was upset or whatever. At that time, he said he was going through some shit. And, you know, just knowing how powerful I am in my words and how great I am. That's like, I have to.
Tell us more.
I'm like Spider-Man, bro.
Word?
Yeah, with great power comes great responsibility. So I just have to be more mindful, and I need to move different. You know what I'm saying?
What is your greatest power?
Roasting. Roasting and fucking imitating people and mimicking people.
Yeah. And those glasses?
And in using that, it can hurt people, bro.
Yeah, I know.
It can hurt their feelings.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
For sure, so, yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to make fun of your glasses there. I'm sorry.
What's wrong with my glasses?
Nothing.
You don't have feel them?
No, you just said you're king of roasting. And I was like, in those glasses?
You can roast me, man.
Nah, I'm not. We don't need that. We'll do it for a check. I'm done roasting for pro bono.
I haven't been roasting, man. I haven't been doing this shit lately. I noticed they're roasting, like, and I don't know if I said this on the last podcast. You know, guys want to come out of a bag on you if you say some silly shit. Like, motherfucker, I just talked about your shirt. And this nigga like, oh, fuck you, man. You think you the shit, dog? Nigga, I just said your shirt, bro. Like, where is this coming from? So, you know what I mean?
People sensitive, man.
Yeah, man.
So what else did you learn from, because we kind of I wanted to get into the movie side of it, because you're on this big feature film, you're with Lil Rel, you're working with Tiffany Haddish. Like, what are some, you mentioned that gave you a perspective on like the hard work that goes into a movie. Like, what are specific things you learned from even being around this level of really success?
Who are you just talking about specifically being on a shoot or on a film?
It could just be like being around these people. You can sometimes pick up on their habits or certain professionalism.
As far as like Rel and Tiffany are concerned?
Yeah. We just,
as far as Rel and Tiffany is concerned, it's their time, right? I mean, they put the work in, and they're bearing the fruits of their labor.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's nobody that can block that, and it's commendable. You know, to see them shining, and it inspired me. It inspired the fuck out of me. You know, being around that shit. I said, dude, it was surreal, because I talked to Rel back like in 2011. It was 2011, 2012. Because Rel quit Jokes and Notes. He used to host Comedy Club in Chicago.
Chicago, yeah.
So I called him. I said, yo. I said, why you quit? Man, it's time, Joe. I'm about to be a star, fam. I say, word? He said, yeah, Joe, I'm about to be a fucking star. Fuck that shit, Joe. I was like, all right. You know what I'm saying? All right, fam. You know what I mean? And I mean, to see, you know, from that to now is just a testimony of, you know, your beliefs, your words, and your thoughts, man, are just fucking powerful. And it's amazing to see his transition. This motherfucker's a superstar now.
Yeah.
I mean, industry-wide, like, it's amazing. You know what I'm saying? So it just charged me up. I couldn't be more happy for the both of them, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
People who got it the right way, or like the right, the long way. Right. You
and
could
even
say.
And even, you know, with the mic situation, you know, even before Rail was really popping, you know, he had spoke out about that shit on Twitter.
Spoke out about what?
About how wrong that shit was. You know, when a lot of motherfuckers were scared. I mean, because this is my real friend. This is my friend. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And he spoke up and he was voiceful about that shit. Like, it's some bullshit. You know what I'm saying? So, he's my friend, man. So I'm happy for him, bro. And for him to throw me that opportunity was commendable.
Yeah, 2:30 in the morning. Like,
yeah, bro.
That's like, this job never sleeps.
A lot of people don't, you know how comedy is. A lot of comedians don't want to reach back a lot of times.
Mm.
Throw somebody the ball like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it would have been nothing for him to be like, ah, fuck that shit, and just had me on set looking around, looking crazy to see all of it, but he gave me a job. You know what I mean? So, bam, I can't do nothing but applaud him. You know what I mean?
Is that part of your strategy right now in that you're generating as much content as possible because that pops?
Because I think that, well, I've been kind of, you know, documenting, doing my videos and being consistent and shit, but yeah, you know, the special is coming out on Kevin's network in June, and then the movie drops June 29th. So, you know, right now, bits of my special is playing on Sirius XM radio. So you just, you know, with that shit going anywhere, people, they like you, or they hear some shit they like, they Google, and they see who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a way to introduce yourself to your fans.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Other people. So I really, you know, like you were saying, like how you try to analyze things, you know, I think people just want to see you. Like, I don't necessarily know, like, they just want to see you. Talk to them. You know what I mean? In every video, I get it. Some of my videos are shit. Oh, so what? Do another.
Because it's like you almost see what is trending and then you just talk into the camera about it. And right. Then it pops.
Some do.
That's
some
the
don't.
Formula, I guess.
Yeah, some do and some don't.
Yeah.
Some of the shit ain't nothing. You know, I might throw one out just like doing stand up. Every joke don't hit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You just keep going. You know what I'm saying? So.
All right. Well, all right then.
But yeah. And then, too, let me see. Yeah, with Tiffany, man, her rise is fucking crazy, man. Like, being there, I'm like, God damn, you motherfuckers. Superstars, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was so crazy the night I got attacked or beat up. I hugged Tiffany right before I walked out there and that shit happened.
Oh, she was at Uptown when that
yeah,
went off?
Yeah, she was at Uptown.
Wow, night. Sounds like they were all, you probably thought it was a reunion. You're like, oh man, am I going to get jumped again? Is that why Mike is on set? Is this true?
Like,
show?
It was like, damn, that was crazy. Because wow. I hugged her, walked outside, bleep, bloop. Yeah, bro.
She may have been in on it. You know, the kiss of death.
It was just that one of them things.
Yeah. Man. So working with her now, are there specific traits of these people you've worked with? Like you being around people at a higher level, are there specific traits they have that others
feel is a work ethic and a belief system.
Okay.
You have to know you're a star and you have to be a star now. And walk and talk it and let the world know. Like I'm here. I'm famous now. You just don't know it. The world don't know it. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I've seen that in certain traits, even of other comics, even outside of that, who have ascended. That has been the common denominator. It's a belief, bro. That shit, it's a belief, man. As corny as this shit sounds, it's the truth. That is the common denominator I see in all of them, bro. They just very sure of themselves, no self-doubt. It's a belief.
And even to fortify that belief, do you do like visualization or journaling or do you do anything to kind of nurture that? Or is it all just within, you just think it all the time?
I think you gotta think it, bro. Cause you gotta think it and you gotta watch what you speak because you know, the things that you speak and the things that you say, when you say it repeatedly, it goes into subconscious thought. And once you get into the subconscious, you don't believe it anymore. You dig what I'm saying?
Because I've heard some people will, like, the first thing they do in the morning, because I'll look at the habits of even, like, not even just people in the comedy or entertainment, but, like, CEOs and really high-level people across the board in the world. And a lot of their morning ritual is, well, one, exercise seems to be a common denominator, but then also some sort of appreciation. They take like time to journal about what they're appreciative for or what's going well or what they want to happen. And they kind of, like you said, repeating it, they'll almost say it out loud. Some people will. Like, I'm gonna make this amount of money by this time. And they'll just like repeat it or write it and just.
And focus on that shit.
Yeah.
Because I mean, people, you know, whether people believe in what I'm saying or not, you know, most people, you know, you tend to worry, you tend to panic, and you focus on lack.
I'm doing that right now.
What you fucking don't have.
Yeah.
And you bring it right on into, you bring it right on into fruition. Like, you focusing on the fucking problem when you could focus on greatness, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a choice. It's like you got to be aware, one, of what you're thinking about and then how to shift it. Like, I go through
But I phases. Mean, we all human. Yeah. Don't get me twisted. I'm not no motherfucker just, I'm up and down with this shit, but I have to fight to, you know, get myself back, you know, and taming my mind and molding my mind and dealing with the unknown, because I think that's the biggest thing with doing stand-up or doing entertainment is there's so many variables and we deal with so much of the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so easy to get down, but you just have to stay the course. So it's almost like navigating a ship in murky waters. You know what I mean? You see the lighthouse. You got to keep your eyes on that goddamn lighthouse. If you go looking at that water and them sharks and shit, it's a wrap.
Just eye on the
prize. Now you ain't even steering the motherfucker no more.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, bro.
Okay.
That's where I'm at with this shit right now, man. So, we'll keep working. And I believe, like, and I tell any comic this shit, man, listen. It's no reason. You got to use this shit, man. You have to put something out to the world and create something. And don't be so hard on yourself. Just put the shit out. Whether it get one view, it takes one view to get to a million motherfucking views either way.
Just one share can pop it off.
Yeah, I think we should stop being so hard on ourselves and just put the shit out, man. Just get it out. Mm-hmm. Get it out. You know what I mean? Like, that's the main thing, because you're going to get depressed if you sit up and you, fuck, then you don't do shit. Now you more depressed because you didn't do shit. You took no action.
Yeah.
And, you know, with a lot of comics, we tend to only work at night. Fuck, what you doing in the morning?
Yep.
What are you doing? For fucking 14 hours, you know what I mean? 8 a.m. to 10 at night. You go out at night. What are you doing?
It's a lot of comics. It's called show business, and the show is a job, and the business is a job.
This shit is the business, bro.
The phone is the business?
Yeah, man, because you getting impressions. You getting people to know you.
Right.
So, like, you know, if I look at my analytics on my IG, I don't know if y'all got Wi-Fi in here or what, but it's not pulling up.
Yeah, there is Wi-Fi.
But I wanted to just go over my analytics. But for instance, like, if you look at your impressions or your reach, you know, in 7 days, you know what I'm saying, I might have reached 450,000 people. You dig what I'm saying? Like, I'm just keeping it real.
Yeah, off of 35,000
followers.
Or if
a video does 50-something thousand views, bro, that's 50,000 motherfuckers. Who the fuck is this?
Yeah.
You dig what I'm saying? So it's important. Yeah. And, you know, every video won't do that, but just the doing every day consistently, you know, you showing up. And that's the key.
You post every single day.
Every goddamn day. I'm going to leave in post.
Word.
YouTube too. And y'all make sure y'all check out my podcast, The LeVar Walker Show. Every day I do a daily podcast. Check it out.
Yeah, let them know. Point at them. Let them know.
Hey, check me out. Oh, I got to look dead in the camera. Check me out. LeVar Walker Daily Podcast Show. Come on over. Check me out.
Well, I appreciate you doing this, man.
This was great. You were like the best interviewer, bro.
You think so? Oh, and last time you made fun of me for having notes. Look, no notes now.
You good, bro?
You
consistent.
Yeah, every week, like every Monday.
Like, think about it when you first started. If you probably listen to your old podcast, they was probably you shitty to you.
Yeah, yeah.
But with that consistency, you're getting better.
Yeah.
It's just like with stand-up. You know what I mean? Fucking times I got booed. Mom. you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, me too,
fell
yeah.
on my fucking face. But now, fuck, what? Come on, man. 45 minutes, I'm going to kill that shit. Theater, whatever. Like, that's my, like, I'm just doing all this shit just to get people to have some interest to come see me.
Right.
Whereas before, at the time we were coming up back in 2000, early 2090s, it was a surprise to see a comic. Like, people would be like, they would come out like, comedy was scary. Like, who is this guy? What he gonna do? You know what I mean? And then you kill him. Oh, this motherfucker was fucking amazing. Mm-hmm. It was a huge element of surprise. Whereas now, with so many motherfuckers on this social media and shit, they know who they want to see. They don't even give a fuck.
They know what they're going to get.
Right. I mean, even if you could probably come out and still wow a crowd, but how are you leaving an impact? You know what I mean? So now, at least now, if I go pop up on a show and people don't know me, I hit them. That guy was funny. They might remember my name, small percentage of them, but then what they do? Get on the phone, and I'm right there.
Yeah.
Here I am.
Every day.
I'm on Instagram. He got a podcast. He had a podcast. He had all this shit. I'm in this shit to win, man.
I feel you, man. That's why I wanted to interview you now, because in June you have the movie coming out, and you also have the LOL Network yes. Kevin Hart special coming
yes.
out. So it's like it seems like you're about to hit another gear here.
Yes.
And you're doing the prep work now.
All putting it down. And I've been doing this shit all year.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not like I just start, but like probably like in November, I kept, you know, putting out. You know what I mean? So.
And you just saw gradual growth.
Saw some growth, yeah.
And when you look at your analytics, you're like, okay, well, this video jumped off. Okay, let me just do more like that. And then you followed your analytics to what was working and then just kept doing what was working and got rid of the other.
Well, I wasn't following the analytics at first, but I'm like, you know what, fuck this. Let me stick to kind of, you know, what they like.
What they like.
Right.
And it's the split screen talking, which is almost like a template.
For me.
On Instagram.
I mean, for me, at least. I mean, I yeah. know more people are doing it, but. Shit, I've been doing it for a minute, and I just try to stick. Are you doing videos on there?
Not really. I went through a little phase, but now I'm shifting my energy towards the podcast more.
Really?
Yeah, like I've...
I mean, with this digital medium and this visual, you should win. Bro.
Yeah, like the podcasting is booming right now, and I feel like I've put in enough groundwork.
That's really good, bro. Good
but when you look, oh, won't he do it?
How many listeners did you have the very first episode?
Oh my gosh, I honestly don't even remember. I really can't even remember. I mean, I remember seeing it like in the 50s and like, oh yeah, we're in the 50s.
That's dope.
Like,
man.
So the growth has been gradual, but it's been, like you said, steady, and I've been posting consistently, which I think helps. And now me just adding a new dimension of the video, but then also just trying to, podcasting is a very interesting medium right now that a lot of people are trying to get into. So I feel like if I can just stay one step ahead of like the new people and like not get caught up in that wave, but then keep doing what I'm doing and get in front of the right people. I think the product is quality. It's just missing the numbers right now that you can really convert into not only fans, but also ads as well in the long run. People wanting to pay to listen.
Yeah, I think with your IG, with this YouTube, bro, it's just a matter of time.
Yeah?
Yeah, you're going to get some huge comic to come in here, and shit going to go crazy.
Well, I appreciate you, man.
No, it's going to go crazy. I feel it, man. Oh. Just like I knew the sales was going to, I know it. It's going to be out of here, bro.
Is it this year?
I don't know what year, but I feel it. I don't know. I mean, but I know it's coming.
Okay.
I feel that. I do.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, man.
This is even one of those days where, like, I've been having a lot of positive momentum, and then today I was just like, ugh, Like, you know, the highs and lows, I was just having kind of a rainy day. So you're saying
like
that,
you go
really.
It's just like when you go in the gym, shit, you working out consistently, these days you got a shitty workout. But the whole key is to get back up and do it again.
Yeah, consistency.
That's the key.
Preach.
That's it. Consistency, bro.
Well, this has been another consistently good podcast, dude. I appreciate your time in doing this.
Yo, this was amazing.
And showing up early. I don't even know who I'm sitting with anymore. It's like you're a professional now.
Thank you, man. You know,
working
I'm putting a lot into this shit now. So, you know, I got a lot on the line, baby. So I got to be more professional. Shit.
Well, time is a big one. That's a big X factor that a lot of people overlook. So I appreciate
time.
Respecting people's time.
Oh, yeah.
Like you said, like being on set is... like a lot of hurry up and waiting. They're like, we need you on set at 7, and then you don't film anything till 2 in the afternoon.
Yes,
and you're like,
bruh. 5 a.m., like especially, you know, with the players on the, like, because they had to sit in heavy prosthetics, you know, to put all that old man makeup and shit
on.
So they would have to get there maybe at, like Kyrie had to sit in 5 hours of goddamn makeup.
Every time?
Yeah, bro. So he would get there probably like 5 a.m., and his call time might be 10. Because you got to put all that shit on. And then he'd leave, he had to take all that shit off. So, and it wasn't just him, it was him. He was in prosthetics, Nate Robinson in prosthetics, Lisa Leslie, Reggie Miller, Shaq, and Chris Webber, bro. So they had to sit through that. Like, it's, and then it's hot as fuck. They got all this shit on. It's hot. Couple of them goddamn scenes, it was like 130, like it felt like 130 degrees we were shooting that shit, bro.
And they older. They a little bit older, folk.
They older, bro. And it's like when you shoot, you know, on a movie shoot, like if they shooting us talking. So they gonna shoot from this way.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta do this shit like 10 different times. This way, they coming from this angle. They coming from over my shoulder. They coming from over your shoulder. Like, and you redoing the scene on each shot.
Yeah,
like,
I get that coverage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you got to keep talking. Talk through the lines again. You know, it's like, fuck. That's each frame. Every frame. So.
Very time consuming. It's a lot of work, but it's worth it.
Oh, fucking right. Yeah. I can't wait to see the finished product.
I can't either, man. This is going to be a perfectly timed episode. And you're throwing out the first pitch.
Yes.
And Chicago White Sox, too.
Yes, man.
That's going to be
dope. Yes, I'm throwing out the first pitch, May 21st, White Sox versus Orioles at the White Sox Stadium. I forgot. I know they changed the name of it, but yeah.
You're going to try to mess up so you can get viral? You're going to try to do something crazy?
You know what? I think I'm going to try to throw that motherfucker for real.
Oh, like, yeah.
I'm shitty, so it's going to come out crazy. You know? But I can't lose in this situation. I mean, because people said, man, you practice. I ain't practicing shit. If it's a horrible throw, come on.
Yeah. You're going to 50 cent them. Just let it.
Yeah.
Shot put it.
People going to roast the fuck out of me. Man, that'll be perfect.
Well, this has been perfect, dude. I appreciate you sitting down with me. Before we get out of here, is there anything else you want the world to know?
Stay tuned, people. We on a ride. We on the magic carpet ride right now. So just stay tuned. I got more shit coming, and I've only just begun. That's what I tell them.
And the law, all the social media and all that?
Everything is LeVar Walker. Instagram, LeVar Walker. Twitter, LeVar Walker. Facebook, LeVar Walker. Everything is LeVar Walker. So check it out.
We out here.
Bro.
LeVar Walker.
Man, hey, well, thank you guys.
Hot
breathers.
Hot brethren and sistren. We'll be back again.
That's
my man.
My dog. Take care, man.
Already.
Hot breath. Oh, let the nostalgia overwhelm you. Thank you for hanging out, hot brethren and sistren. If you have not heard LeVar's original hot breath episode, it is number 6, all the way back in the archives. Remember, you can keep up with our podcast on YouTube, on iTunes, on Spotify, on Stitcher, all the platforms. You can check us out on Instagram at Hot Breath Pod and at Joel Byers Comedy. Just after the interview, LeVar started doing his vlog, and going into his podcast because he does like these daily posts. You got to check him out, keep up with him. But what was interesting is just to hear about how his career has changed and just the challenges of overcoming adversity. So I really hope you learned from that. That was probably my biggest takeaway, and just hearing the work ethic, like him being around so many successful people. And the number one trait is that work ethic and that belief. And that's something I can completely struggle with. That was something I was actually struggling going into this interview. I was jazzed to interview him, but it's just one of those days where you're just, you got the self-doubt creeping in, or why not this, or why is this? Instead of just focusing on what you have, don't focus on what you don't have. So that's a valuable take I'm going to have from this episode. I will definitely take with me is just focus on what is working, focusing on what you do have, as opposed to worrying about the unknown and the uncontrollable. So I challenge you out there, not just comedians listening, but comedy fans, however you found this, wherever you're listening, I challenge you to do that this week. Try to focus on what is working and not getting in your head about why is this person getting that. You know, eyes on your own paper. Really just focus on what you have going on and what is helping make that happen, as opposed to things holding you back. So that was just a big takeaway from a comedy vet, been doing it 15 years. Finally, you know, he's had big moments in his career. Now it seems like he's catching a new stride. So it's coming from him. It means a lot. And you listening really does mean a lot as well. So I do appreciate you taking the valuable time to listen. And that's it, kids. You know, we do this every Monday at 8 a.m. I host a show, comedy show, if you want to see my stand-up, every Wednesday at Java Monkey in Decatur, Georgia. 8 p.m. show. It's free. I've been doing it almost 7 years. I'd love to see you there. And of course, as I'm recording this intro and as we record this podcast, I teach a weekly comedy class at Highwire Comedy Company. Every Sunday, if you want to sign up for the next round that kicks off in June, go to highwirecomedy.com or joelbyerscomedy.com. I have a website on there that has a link to my schedule, to my rates for other services. You know, I not only do stand-up, but I host events. I do writing coaching. There's, what you need. I got you. I don't know why I went into that voice there. But anyway, we're winding down this outro. So of course I need to thank my engineer, Amon Garner, for keeping all my episodes on track. This dude has his own podcast network now, working with a bunch of different podcasts. If you want to be a part of the crew, hit him up on Facebook, at Amon Garner. And of course I must thank my lovely wife, Erin Byers, for making the theme song for this pod. I couldn't do it without you, dear. And I couldn't do our other podcasts. We have a podcast called Byers Life that really gives a fun new look on my world with my wife and dog, like LeVar mentioned. So it's really a fun new, more of like a lifestyle podcast, as opposed to this is like comedy nerd out. So that's it. I love you so much. I'm Joel Byers, and until next Monday, right here on Hot Breath. Hot Breath. This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably.